I'm here with Edith Novak, who's Quinwan Edwardson, or Gwen Edwardson. Today is Friday, November 4th, 2005, and we're at the Walsh Hall, apartment number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first part of the interview.
And we're having a lutsa. Our favorite food. Anywhere.
I wanted to ask you how you grew up. I mean,
okay.
Not how you grew up, but
I know. I'll start off. I'm sorry. I was born in a fishing camp in Cocktail, about 5 miles away. Mm-hmm. My mom and I asked, I've been asking around who was there when I was born. So Uncle Isaac said, our grandma used to be the midwife. She would be there either that Panikpak, which is
my mom.
Yeah. Your aka, right?
My mom.
Your ama. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
That's good.
Yeah, your ama. And so that's a big change. Is nowadays we have to go to the hospital and you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be known that in order to have a healthy birth, you don't sit around, you don't lay around, you're supposed to be active,
mm-hmm.
keep the baby moving. And that's, I think that's one of the big changes, is that we're too careful. Just because of the hospital, we have to go there to give birth, whereas before it was natural.
Yeah.
Natural for a woman to be out camping, mm-hmm. to be out somewhere, and it was okay. That's all right. They knew what to do. Mm-hmm. And so our mom had healthy births. I had never known any complications at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think the complications started when women are, they don't, just because they're pregnant, they just sit around on the couch and say, oh man, my back is aching. I would highly recommend it, you know. I mean, the rule was that you don't lay around, otherwise the baby's going to get stuck in there. You're supposed to keep it active.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing was, if there was any complications, they knew what to do, because our dad was, he used to fix babies.
Mm-hmm.
When they were breached, when the head was on top, he knew how to turn it around.
Oh.
Yeah, there was, I remember, women coming over. I was a little girl, still in grade school, and women would come around and he would wash his hands first and then pray first before he did that, and then work on the woman with the baby. Mm-hmm. Even when the, I remember him telling he could take the cord off
the neck.
Yeah. Because it's, when the cord is around the neck, there's no oxygen going to the head, and you have a disabled baby. Because there's one at the church today where I go to.
Mm-hmm.
They said she had her cord around her neck, that's why she's in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. She can't move around. But she's thriving, she's a wonderful little young lady. Mm-hmm. So those are the changes that I have seen. Whereas before, we knew what to do,
yeah,
just in case there were any complications anywhere. And one of the things that have to be known is, what if the economy collapses? And the reason why I'm talking to you about this was while they were cutting up the whale,
mm-hmm,
in this fall,
this last fall,
just recently, just last 2 months ago, mm-hmm, just recently, he was helping, and we were really happy he was helping, and young
who
people,
helping?
Huh?
Who was helping?
Larry Lucas,
okay,
Priscilla's grandson, and then out of the blue, he said, "What's going to happen if there's no electricity or gas, natural gas?" And I said, "Oh my gosh!" Just out of the blue, and it made me want to share that it's crucial that they know how to survive without electricity, without gas,
mm-hmm,
natural gas, because it's in the tape. Remember,
yeah,
Mrs. Kulangana was showing us how to make fire with,
yeah,
that. Yeah, that, mm-hmm, kind of stuff we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to learn how to make the sod house.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most efficient house that was ever built. There's some more, if you want some more. So we're having a maluta right now. Anyway, that was considered one of the most efficient houses because they make these houses with 12-inch insulation and, you know, 12-inch,
mm-hmm,
under and all that. But they came to know that it was the most efficient house. Our ancestors were very smart. It kept them warm, and the sod house was made totally out of ground, from the ground,
mm-hmm,
sod. On top of the ground, you could make slabs from the ground, and
like an igloo, but just with tundra.
Make an igloo, but it's like you could make it,
mm-hmm,
and there'll be a spot for where you sleep, and there'll be a spot for where you cook. And in Kaktovik, common sense was wherever it snowed a lot, it makes sense to have a door on top with a ladder. Because the brand new side houses,
mm-hmm,
had doors.
Mm.
So long time ago they had openings on the top.
Okay.
With those intestine windows.
Oh.
Yeah. So right now we have a 3-bedroom, running water, flush toilets. Yeah. And just thinking about.
Was that how, like, how did you grow? It was just like just regular houses?
I grew up with our grandparents. It was a
what kind of
strong
house?
Family core, just a wooden house. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up in a sod house. It was already, we were in the stage of building wood houses.
Okay.
So it was a wood house.
Yeah.
Probably from scraps. I haven't asked. But I do remember it used to like have lots of snow in Kaktovik, and even our dogs had houses. An old house I think they salvaged from somewhere.
Yeah.
I saw the pictures of it. Our aunt gave me some really old pictures of Kaktovik. So I'll show that to you earlier, next time. That's another change. No more dog tea.
Yeah. Use up dog tea?
Use up dog teams.
Did you?
Raising. Yeah, I grew up.
Really?
We never had skidoos. No, we didn't know anything about jeeps or trucks. Only when the army guys were starting to come in. I remember we found out about big ships, you know. That's when we went. So I grew up
Was there like a lot of white people when
I was growing up?
Mm-hmm.
No.
And then like did you guys act different like once they started coming in? Or did you guys act?
There's a story. It's a very funny story. When black people first started coming to Kaktovik, my sister Priscilla, that was the first time she saw a black person and she started crying, the devil is here! And she ran away. She didn't know. She did not know that there were black people. She started crying, screaming, and said, "The devil, do not come." Oh, that's so funny. So the only time that I think started associating with Tunics and I came to us when we moved to Kaktovik about, I was 8 years old. Mrs. Johnson was a Tunic teacher, really good Tunic teacher, I remember. We used to pray before we had crackers with honey or peanut butter, or we'd have raisins. That was our breakfast. That's why I have some crackers and raisins and peanut butter. This telling stories, telling when I grew up, that's why I got, when I went to the store, I got kakalak, peanut butter and raisins. It brought good memories. And I started having breakfast. I remember Mrs. Enlow, Dino's mom, Dino Flossy. When we had moved to Barrow, I was babysitting Dino and who's the other?
Ricky?
Ricky and Dino were babies. And I remember babysitting and they came home and she made me egg sandwich, fried eggs, white bread with mayonnaise and tomatoes, and I had that too. It was good. She was one of my favorite people. Really nice, kind. So the changes that I have seen, unfortunately, when we were going to, let me go back.
Okay.
In Kaktovik, when we were going to school, we had an Inupiaq teacher. We were very fortunate.
Harold?
Uh-huh, Dr. Harold Kavilu. When we couldn't understand, because we're total Inupiaqs, we didn't know how to talk in English. When we couldn't understand what he was talking about, he would explain it to us in Inupiaq.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's, and then we went to Barrow, that's when we started getting to know that there were people with white skin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, maybe I was too small, couldn't comprehend. I think my comprehension was sharper when I was about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see and think and so,
did you guys act different?
Like one white student, the first white kid we ever saw, and we picked on him. We made him cry, and our parents found out about it. My dad was really, he wasn't abusive. We listened when he scolded us. He said, we have two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. We're all the same. That's when prejudice, like, I don't see color at all.
Yeah.
I don't see black or like this. Poor guy. she said he was a devil. Oh my God.
Did she say it in Inupiaq or in English?
Huh? She said it in Inupiaq.
Oh, okay.
Do not come along. That was so funny. And I remember when airplanes first came, we never knew anything about airplanes, and we would, plane, and run to the airport to go see an airplane. So our dad taught us about not being prejudiced. And I remember we used to play marbles with those little big, small ones and big marbles. And I would end up with lots of marbles. And he scolded me, "You do not take somebody else's property." Even though I wanted, So early in age we learned, I think that was taught to them. Nothing was stolen at all. The doors were never locked. You trusted everybody. And that's a big difference today.
Yeah.
Nowadays, because of the drugs and alcohol, people are addicted. They steal anything to sell, to get drugs. That's a big difference. Unfortunately, we have to keep our doors locked and make sure somebody don't run off with a Ski-Doo or Honda or something. That's a big change.
So there's a lot less self-discipline now?
Now, you are very well, I'm very proud of your generation. You know, going to college, that's really very beneficial, crucial that you get your degrees, finish. Don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Harold really was my mentor. So continue your education. That's really, really important. But at the same time, please don't forget where we came from.
Yeah.
Learn the old ways of life. Like what my grandnephew was asking, oh my God, he really made me think about you need to know. Because some people down lower 48, they die. Just because it's like snowing and below zero, you know. We know how to survive. We know how to make fire. That's one of the crucial things that you have to learn. Even though maybe it won't happen, but that's a wise thing to do, is to learn how to make a sad house and how to make fire. That's all. And of course you know how to hunt already. Don't eat the wolf don't eat the wolverine.
Why?
I don't know. It's not good. But eat the, you can eat the owl, you can eat the nayaka, seagull. They used to eat them long time ago.
Really?
Yeah. And the squirrels you can eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Polar bears, walrus, bearded seal, seal, anything. The little birds are good.
Just wolf and wolverine?
Just wolf and wolverine. I don't know why, but they're saying, I've never had any. Mm-hmm. But maybe way, 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 way back. A mouth, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about, I know it's changed a lot, like how people used to scold their kids or like someone else's kids when they were doing wrong. Like, you were, like, people would be able to be like, hey, don't do that. Then now you can't even say, you can't do that, and then, like, the child would go to his mom and mom will come back to you and just say something to you. That's changed a lot.
I have mom's tendency to scold. Mm-hmm. It's my responsibility. If I hear somebody cussing, I say, you do not do that. You do not cuss. Mm-hmm. If I see somebody hurting somebody, you do not do that.
Yeah.
So what did the parent, I'll say, we have to be assertive.
Yeah.
We cannot tolerate that anymore. Mm-hmm. We will not be defeated because we are doing something what is right. Continue to do what is right. If you see somebody stealing, I say, it's not right. You have to say, no, it's not right. You're not supposed to steal. No, you don't hit. You don't, no, you don't violate the child. It is not right. You have to tell somebody. All the good things that we hear from our parents as what we should teach.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, there's healthy elders, I mean unhealthy elders, you know.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't overwhelm us, because there's more good in life than a small portion of people who do bad things.
Yeah.
We have, I like that. I want to think like that.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot give in to this other dark side.
How is self-discipline encouraged by when they're in Kapalabhati Girl?
We were raised by our parents, taken care of by our uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw any violence. I never saw any kid being beat up.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw stealing. So there was a moral upbringing.
How about
honesty?
you didn't see that, and would you ever hear like your parents fighting or anything?
Mm-mm. No. Priscilla was consulted by our dad. He said never fight in front of the kids. I think when she started having kids.
Mm-hmm.
Never argue, never fight or anything in front of the kids. And I never saw anything like that.
Yeah.
They kept it private. And that was good, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say about education,
mm-hmm.
about going to Rankle Institute and management.
Yeah.
The worst thing that we ever did, and my greatest regret, was never having to talk to my kids in Inubra. They don't understand, they don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's my greatest regret. Because we went to Rangel, we went to Manichkam, and ended up talking in English all the time after that.
Yeah.
And when we came back, I think we did talk and we understood what they were saying. And when we started raising our children, we just ended up fluent English, just being English. And that's my greatest regret, was to have not, I mean, I wish I could have had talked to my kids in our language when they were small. Because it comes back to you, I could tell the frustration of my kids when somebody's talking in Winnipeg. I could see it in their eyes. I wish I could, you know. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you cannot learn. Yeah. People learn French, people learn Spanish, Japanese. Why not Winnipeg?
Didn't that Tony learn any Barrow?
Yeah, Duncan Pride.
Yeah.
He used to live in Barrow.
And
he was one of the first administrators of the college. I can't remember the college. Mm.
Did you know Devon?
Devon, I was trying to remember. He gave me Eileen MacLean's poem on I'll show it to you, Anna Soka, Anna Bailey, in Inupiaq and English on the back.
Yeah.
Devon, that's, I call him Naya. I couldn't remember. I call him Naya because I, where is he?
I think he was in Barrow last time I see him.
Oh.
I remember we used to call him Siu Dai Lak.
Siu Dai Lak? How come? I remember I gave him Lagaya because he hunted.
Yeah.
James taught him in Inupiaq.
Oh, cool.
And then I think he went out hunting with James. Anyway, somehow our family always ended up adopting, you know.
Yeah, he had been whaling with my mom and dad.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Devon, yeah.
I'm surprised he knew Inupiaq.
And anybody can. If we can do it, anybody can do it. Our children can. So my goal, maybe for Christmas, I want to... That's an excellent Christmas gift, is to give them the grammar, first year grammar.
Yeah.
And the Inupiaq dictionary. And said, here, if anybody can learn French or Japanese, here, you can learn.
Yeah.
That way. They're very sharp. Bernice is the smartest young lady I know. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, the big change is the alcohol and the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen violence. Never be in a violent relationship ever. It affects, it's like a world war on a little kid, little baby, 1 year old, 2 year old, to see the father. You know, it's like war. Never, I'm so glad I got away from it. Just one of my regrets also.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from that. So, the big change from, I remember when the only car that good Kahawi cat was Urena's little jeep. And being kids, we would say in Inupiaq, lights, lights. That means we could go behind the car and slide. It was fun!
Oh,
we said, lights, lights! And we would run after the car and get on the back. Isn't that stupid? That's what I remember doing that. And my sleeve came off. Not my sleeve, but my cuff. My cuff, my whole cuff, just automatically, my whole cuff. I said, oh no! And I remember going home, I used to have torn articulates. You know, when I'm going home and I would wrap it up in nakhanichak, wrap up my parka first and go inside and have it under my arm like this, and I would go inside and say, oh, it's so hot. It would be all torn, all wrapped up under my arm. And mom would know, I think.
Yeah,
lies. And we need to teach them kids games. We used to play elephant hide, Andy over.
What's Andy over?
You get a ball and
throw it over the roof. Yeah.
Not over the trough plexus. I just a house with a roof like this.
Yeah.
And if they catch it on the other side, they go around and try to hit you.
Okay.
That's the object of the game. And manamana.
What's that?
There's two round.
Two groups
of people, and round, say, you're safe inside the circle.
Okay.
Over there too, and inside. And you try to go around the opponent's circle.
Oh.
And they try to tag you. If you're tagged, you go to the prison, and there's a, under the round, where the prison is, you're supposed to go there.
Okay.
This is the opponent's circle, and you go to that prison, and if somebody tags you from that prison, you could go home to the safe place.
Okay.
So the object is, I guess all of you are in the jail, and that's the end of the game. Yeah. All these long time ago games, we need to revive them and show them.
Nampacha?
Yeah, that's, I don't know why some people, but it's dangerous. It's got a sharp object.
It's fun.
You tried it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is fun.
In bed, out loud.
Like that, and it's fun.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, you know,
yeah.
I remember doing that.
I mean, play a chakri song. Chakri sock, the seesaw thing, and then you jump.
Oh, what was it?
It's like
a chakri sock.
A chakri sock?
A chakri sock. Okay. I couldn't understand you. But, and I had to think, and a chakri sock. A chakri sock. That too. So the most important thing, I think, in your generation is to get your degree. Master's, if that's even great, better.
Mm-hmm.
That opens a lot of doors for you in the job force.
Yeah.
Yeah. So continue what you're doing, finish, get a degree, double major if you want to, or, but the most important thing is get a job that you enjoy doing. Or don't be in a place where you're stressed out, where you don't like it. You know, you can go to different places.
Mm-hmm.
With your degree and find something you really have a passion for, because this is my passion. I really love doing this. Teaching. Talking to them about life stories. It was fun. Yeah, there's wonderful learning stories. I remember our playground was that big old ship in Kaktoli.
Mm-hmm.
it was dark inside. We explore, it's very dark inside. And I remember one of us, I think it was Lloyd, or was it James, hanging on for dear life, he thought he was gonna fall. He didn't know, and here he was just about that far, inches from the bottom. Oh man, good memory. Very dark inside, and we explored. 2 inches.
How long were you playing?
I don't know. He thought he was going to fall down, really hanging up for dear life. Oh, geez. Good, beautiful stories, funny stories. Growing up.
In school, would they like discipline you guys? Like, how about, like, in your couple, how did they discipline you guys? Like, before, when Harold was still there, was it any different from...
We listened. We were taught to listen. Mm-hmm. We had good upbringing from our parents and our uncles, and, you know, there was already a solid, good upbringing. Mm-hmm. Do not steal, do not lie, do not fight, all this good stuff that we had learned. And observe. You know, children learn what they live.
Yeah.
And that's how we grew up. And I think that's where, when we went to Rankel and Manetchka, we started smoking in Rankel, yeah. You know, doing the things that were dangerous or not good, mm-hmm. just because we were away from our parents. That had a big effect on.
Would they, like, how would they discipline me there?
In Rangel?
Uh-huh.
I remember in Malechkam, I ended up going to a movie with a friend from SJ,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't go home until late. They went looking for me and they found me at the theater,
uh-huh.
inside the theater. I remember the matron, the strong finger.
Yeah.
I said, oh my God, I got caught. Uh-huh. So they let me scrub the walls.
Oh.
I scrubbed the whole walls. It was, I don't know, they were dirty, I guess. And I remember doing that and I got a scar from it. I got a scar from it.
How?
I don't know. I some metal or something up there, and yeah, we got restricted, and that was good.
Yeah.
And we learned how to wake up in the morning to keep our rooms clean. We learned structure.
Yeah.
In the high school, whereas before at home, you know. We played out. We were children,
mm-hmm.
then. But I think that's one of the good things about high school was we learned the work, what do you call it? Education. We learned how to get up early, how to keep clean, and it was automatic for us to get into the workforce, because we already are waking up in the morning, you know? So that was good.
Would you, like, change anything now, if they're, like, for school? Like, nowadays?
Nowadays?
Yeah. Would you change, like, the discipline and stuff in school?
They should never ever use, they disciplined us with rulers. I think that's where the stopping the violence. Yeah, it is abuse. They used to slap us with a
ruler.
That was, it was really hurt. I mean, it was painful.
Mm-hmm.
to discipline us like that. But now, a student don't have a right to dominate the school structure or to, with their anger and their frustration and abusing the teacher or abusing somebody else. We have to keep order no matter what. Not by force, not by hitting somebody, you know, but to discipline right then and there, instead of sometimes we try to keep our eyes closed when something's going on. We shouldn't do that. We have to say, acknowledge it, it's wrong what you're doing, you know.
Yeah.
In school, that's what needs to be corrected. Don't let the abusive, cranky, throwing things student in the classroom. He should be taken out.
Yeah.
And disciplined. Not with the student watching and everything. He needs to be taken out immediately. Because there's security, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Discipline is very important.
Yeah. How about at home?
It should be automatic. Ever since they're little babies, they have to know what's right and mm-hmm. what's wrong.
Like what kind of discipline?
Not hitting.
But just telling them.
Yes.
Just telling them.
Telling them this is right, this is wrong.
Okay.
That's all. No yelling. They know.
Would you like give them chores or something? Or would
yes.
You?
They need to learn. They have to learn responsibility at a very early age. My regret, I gave my kids everything that I never had when I was growing up. We didn't go hungry, but we were lacking in some things,
yeah.
You know. So never spoil your children. Teach them the value of money.
Yeah. If you were scolded at home, what would your parents do?
The father was the one that scolded us. He was the not mom.
Yeah.
We listened mm-hmm. to our dad. So he was a disciplinary person.
Yeah.
And we listened. Mm-hmm. And when we didn't do, we were, the only time that I ever got spanked, and the last time was when I didn't want to do the dishes and our dad used a belt and belted me on the back, and I got so devastated. I was so hurt because we never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
We never, and so I went upstairs, took the light bulb off from the room and hid under the bed, crying. First time I ever heard, first time I ever seen our dad crying. And I do that to my kids. I said, I did that to you because, you know,
mm-hmm.
I do not want you to be like that. I was doing something wrong and I knew it. I was almost breaking the cups and everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
so angry. So I remember that, and when I discipline my kids, that's what I use. Like, I did that because you have to explain.
Yeah.
They have to know what's right and what's wrong. Don't wait till they're 6 years old or 13 years old. It's not going to work. You have to teach them at an early age. Teach them what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Discipline is very important. And the kids need to learn at an early age? No. Because we had the tendency of saying yes, 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 just to quiet them down or something, the kids.
Yeah.
So, kids learn when you're not using loud voice. They quit hearing when you're constantly, you know, yelling, screaming, whatever, yelling at them, so. Oh, Arlie, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah.
What time is it?
Yeah. Hey, I'm here with Edith Nalap from Barrow. My name is Gwen Edwardson. Today is November 11th, 2005. We're at Walsh Hall again. And this is second part of side A.
Yeah.
And I was wondering about the sitting duck or that we had went on in, I think, the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about that.
I remember. I was a little girl. Summertime. I think it was summertime. I remember being at home and they were talking about it and they were saying, you gotta bring a duck. You gotta go down to the... it was the old, we used to go movies to that place.
It was in Barrow?
Yeah, in Barrow.
At Nara?
No, in town. There's this, we used to go to movies. And I remember the old ladies used to pay 2 cents. And we used to pay maybe quarter, or was it 10 cents? Anyway. We used to go to movies for 25 cents or 10 cents, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a movie theater down there. It used to be the Native Store. I think there was already a Native Store there. I remember working there with Lolly Hobson, when she used to be the accountant at the old Native Store. But on that side, I remember they used to go to movies. I remember Alak used to come by our place and ask for 2 cents. Go to movies. That was so cute. She always was at our place. Because that's our grandfather's sister, Alak. Andrew Akuchuk's sister. Anyway, they were saying, bring a duck, you have to bring a duck. Go down there. And everybody was, you could feel it in the air. Everybody was like, okay, we gotta find a duck. And my mom and them had ducks too, I think so. Every person was carrying a duck down there.
To the movie theater?
Uh-huh. I remember it was always dark, and so everybody gathered there because they said they were arresting Nipik, Tami Pekuk. Tami Pekuk.
Oh, okay.
And probably, it involved the whole community. Nobody was about to get arrested for hunting. Hunting ducks. So it was so smart how they did it, because so everybody's out there with one duck in that big, in that building where they were going to arrest that guy for duck hunting. And I remember my uncle Perry Perry was there, and he said, he set his duck on top of a, on top of a drum, and the next thing he knows when he look, it was gone. Somebody took it. That's so funny. And I guess he got another one probably from mom and dad. But I was there, I remember being, you know, in there and people bringing ducks all together into this meeting where they were going to arrest this person because they wanted to stop duck hunting. I think they were game wardens. We call them game wardens. We never liked game wardens. Even before this incident, or was it after, mom and dad would be in the tent and they would be hiding ducks. Mm. Yeah. Because they knew the game warden plane, the little plane that sometimes go around and harass Eskimos just because they're doing their cultural thing, duck hunting. Mm-hmm. They knew. They were sly, but that's okay. That's their culture. They're trying to. They have some really funny stories where they talk about the game warden. when they hear the plane go, they would hide, you know, the ducks. And it's so funny right now, but that day it wasn't, you know, when you think about it. We didn't like game wardens whatsoever. Yeah. They were there. Like sort of like the enemy, mm-hmm. But they could be hiding ducks even under the ground. Jeez. Isn't that?
How long did that last?
Oh man, it didn't. Well, I was there. I was a little girl, and I knew, you know, what my parents were doing. They had stories. About hiding ducks, and I knew I was in that. I knew it personally because I was there. Anyway, back to the story about that guy being arrested, and the game wardens are there. And so, guess what? Everybody's there with a duck, and they say, "Arrest us!" Wow. For everybody.
How many people?
I don't know, but.
100?
And I remember that game warden started crying.
Really?
He didn't know what to do. He was so scared, I think, of all these Eskimos with their ducks. Arrest us! Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. That's a I love that story. I just love that story. So he left without arresting anybody. That was it. Everybody carrying a duck and said, okay, if you're going to arrest him, you're going to arrest us too. There was many, many people. Mm-hmm. So I think that poor game warden didn't know what to do. And he was so emotional. He was crying. So that was the end of... But game wardens were so awful. They would be... like trying to stop you from doing your cultural thing. That was a cultural thing. We needed to feed our family.
Yeah.
And I remember them having a really big meeting at the North Slope Bowl in reference to nobody's gonna, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's when they started forming these Walrus Commission and
Whaling
Commission and Wildlife, how dare them trying to stop us, our way of life. Mm-hmm. So it's been pretty good the way people, the Eskimos, the Inupiaqs, our people come together. Mm-hmm. When there's a crisis like that.
Yeah.
And they come together and I just love that. It's just so wonderful. So they didn't arrest that guy. If they were going to arrest him, they were going to arrest everybody with a duck in that. And that poor game warden was so emotional and crying, and so he just imagine him just being by himself, or I don't know, I don't remember whether he was with somebody else or not, but I would be scared. If I was the only individual who was trying to stop somebody else's culture.
Who did he work for? Did he work for the government?
Game wardens were government, federal government.
Is that the fish and wild, or?
Probably fish and game.
Yeah.
Yeah, fish and game. That time they were called a game warden. So it descended from, I don't know whether it was state or federal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about Luguini? How did they, like, because I know they just...
I was there. Oh, man. That was the saddest day in the history of Inupiaq. People was humiliated. There are stories of whaling captains crying when they see the whale and they couldn't.
When was it?
They couldn't whale. When was this? That's a good... All these memories I have, it's just so amazing. I could, like, I want to know, and this gives me the opportunity to get the exact day. We can get that information from IHLC. They have all these documentations. The Whaling Commission have that information. Mm-hmm. We can call and Maggie Amawak. I don't know the exact date or the year, but I do remember people were crying, we were crying, and whaling captains, they just start crying when they come. It was a very sad day. People were, especially the men,
yeah.
They couldn't even, they just washed the whale.
Couldn't
get anything. So, They like that duck thing. They said, no way. No way you're gonna, you know, do this to us.
Yeah.
They got assertive and say they fought for their rights as Inupiaqs to whale.
Mm-hmm.
So it really gave everybody, it was a wake-up call. Because I do remember they were, I look at Misera or Blubber and said, that's not right, you have to use all of them, you know? I think that was a wake-up call for you, use everything you do, not waste.
Yeah. How long ago? About how long ago? I don't remember.
Seven, 80s? I, you got me curious, but I know that day. I really remember. It was so awful.
Yeah.
There was a dead silence in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a death. And so after that they started saying, no way, you're not going to take our whaling away from us, no way. You know, and that's when they started the whaling. I mean, they started going to those meetings in Japan or mm-hmm. wherever they were having those whaling quota, mm-hmm. whaling quota meetings, and that was so good. They started fighting, and now, even when I was home this fall, we have to go back to where we scrape everything up. We save everything. We make the whale oil. Uh-huh. And it felt so good. So I am so glad I'm back at home. And that's a good project for you and me.
Yeah.
Like, when was that? What day? What year? What happened? Who? You know, I know for a fact that the leaders and whaling captains and everybody was, you know, together. Mm-hmm. They said, no way, you're not going to take our whaling away. And so that's when they, that was the day when they started doing the quota.
Okay. Like
after the
like 16 strikes per season or something.
At
like
first that. It was like 1, 2, 3. There were not that many strikes mm-hmm. at all. And they and ever since that time it started getting higher, and so it's a healthy number.
Yeah.
For people to go back and go back to pain.
That would be tough. 1, 2, 3 strikes.
It was. Especially that day when they said no more whaling.
Yeah.
That was the saddest day ever in the Inupiaq history. Mm. That we couldn't whale. That was the saddest day.
Yeah, that would be crazy if we stopped it.
But, like, when we get together as Inupiaqs, mm-hmm. we set aside our differences, our political differences, our personal, whatever you call it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
We're human. When they get together, when Inupiaqs get together, they're very strong. We are very strong. When we set aside our political differences and we start fighting for what's our right as Inupiaqs,
mm-hmm.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
To see them fighting for their rights. And that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it when there's political fights. Or I don't want to work with that person. No, you cannot do that. You have to set aside those personal family friendship. This is a good opportunity for anyone, for you and me, to really find out about what day, what month, what year, who was involved, what meetings that stopped, that fought for the whaling, who was involved, how they did it, and also that duck, thing to get the real, to know whether it's documented on paper. That's what I want foremost in my life, I think. I want to see everything documented on paper. And I'm pretty sure it is. It's probably somewhere in the archives of Fish and Wildlife Management. Or it could be under the whaling office, maybe commission office, or it could be under the Inupiaq History and Language Commission archives. And there's a vast amount of videotapes, vast amount of cassette tapes. The knowledge, the elders talking on those cassette tapes. Your mom was so awesome. I have her work, Pee-wee-gut. She transcribed.
Yeah.
From Inupiaq to English, and I said, wow, Dodo. I was so proud of her. And Eileen Edna McLean, she transcribed, not into English, but she transcribed some stories. I have the books. I have the books. Remember, you were at that class when I transcribed it into English from Inupiaq?
Yeah.
So that's what we need to do. And that's a good way to learn. Inupiaq. Bless you. Bless you.
Your sister. Oh, don't forget to give me, to get me biscuits.
Hot, very hot. I'll get them. I'll get the mom's
recipe. I remember her making it like that. Maybe she ran out of flour, and there's homemade.
Good.
Good. It's homemade, Mom.
Oh, I am so glad you're in college. Graduate, get your degree. That is so cool. All these jams are...
Raspberry Thimble Berry Jam, 8:15:05. They're gifts from... You know Ben? Ben, he's in the class.
Ben Young?
Yeah.
He gave them to you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So is it from Southeast?
Uh-huh. And this one is already here.
What kind of berries?
Thimbleberry. Raspberry and thimbleberry. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Awesome. Homemade.
Did he make them or?
No. I think he said he did. Yeah. I take that back. I think, yes, he helped make that.
Wow.
Awesome, huh?
Yeah. So,
good people, I'm so glad you're here. I could share biscuits with you.
Mom's recipe.
It's good.
Yeah, it is. It is very good. And
when did they start pulling
up? Huh?
When did they start doing pulling up?
1988.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it's not even that old.
Uh-uh, no.
Oh.
It just started.
I'm so glad they started that.
Yeah.
Look, I am so glad.
Did it just start with like one flow? People?
At the
like the first one?
The first one was at the elementary multipurpose, I think.
The old one?
Yeah, the old multipurpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were too many people, so they moved it over to the auditorium. And then the highlight of that pivot was Russians.
When did they start coming?
Not 89 or 90. Or, no, it doesn't say the year.
The government of 94.
Huh? This was like this
90,
yeah. 90, so it started in 19...
1988, and I know the Russians were there at the elementary. I think it was it at the elementary. Anyway, I remember when they first came. It was such a wonderful, wonderful event to see Russians involved in our
Kyrgyz. Where did you get this book?
I remember it was given to me, I can't remember, but you can get it from IHLC.
Oh, good.
Oh, do I?
You'll have further on. When did you start?
I think that belongs to Pete. Sorry if Pete is listening. I joke. I better send it back to him. But we can get one.
Yeah.
We can get one through.
When did you start Eskimo Dance?
1970s.
1970s?
Mm-hmm. In that hut.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that hut where they used, you weren't born. It's next to the wellness. There used to be a hut, I think they tore it down.
Was it that, it was like a tent?
Mm-mm. Army hut. It was an army hut.
By Top of the World?
No. You know where Joe, the waterman,
mm-hmm.
right across, where the wellness center is, that used to be SATS,
yeah.
That one, it used to be around that area.
Oh, yeah.
I think they tore it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did they just have one dance group or a barrel?
Mm-hmm. Pizza Valik, Clayburn Tunik, Benson Narak, Rakti Kuwana, Tukak, that's Rabuduk Beha, and Johnny Tukak. Johnny Tukak, they were there. Number one, every year, number one is the Eskimo dance group. They were powerful. Not at Kivarek, at the World Eskimo Indian Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Sivalik, Clayburn Tunik, Benson Narek, and my mom, they were involved. Pete and Isis Sivalik, Clayburn was, his wife wasn't involved.
Vincent, your brother or?
No, my dad, our dad.
Okay.
Vincent Narek and our mom, Rhoda.
Mm-hmm.
I remember they used to go to World Eskimo Indian Olympics and it was in July. It's still in July. And they would have it outside, the dancing. They would have it outside with their fur parkas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure there's some films and stuff. I remember seeing one.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure somebody has some videotapes, films,
mm-hmm.
films of those kinds.
Wow.
Mm.
Did you ever choreograph, what is it, make a dance?
Mm-mm. No. We could.
Yeah?
We could.
About what?
Whatever you, because there's one on, say you, the one I was watching, and I hear mm-hmm. it's all about Eskimo dancing, it's about Eskimo motion dancing. Sayo, you know? Mukbara, tuktunga. Alahu, bilyen, ninjaman, ariyan, anything that has to do with
There's some with, that's another project. I really want to know what the story is about, because I learned only the motion dances. I never got the history of that song.
We
and
kinda have
the story.
Vera Wheeler's kind of have one.
Wow, you do?
Well, it's like a
fantastic, awesome.
It was like
that's excellent.
We don't have like words or anything, but it's
fun dance or motion?
It's like a motion dance.
Good, good.
It's about waving.
Good,
and,
good.
Show you?
Okay. okay.
We just have a spark for lifting. We do this three times and we see one.
Wow, cool!
We go to it.
Cool. yeah.
And then we get it. And that's it.
Wow. And the boys are drumming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how wonderful. That's just it. You know how to make songs.
Yeah.
You can compose. Long time ago, I heard about this one man. I don't know who it was, but I heard about a man that just laid down and composed a song.
Really?
Laid down on the bed.
In Barrow?
I think it was in Barrow. I don't know the name.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a story about this man that composed a song just like that.
Wow.
It comes to you. Yeah.
That's cool.
Like what you did, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
It comes to you. It just comes to you and you write it and you learn it and that's just it, you have it.
Mm-hmm. This is fun.
Yeah. Mom, recipe, you could do it too. Common sense. You put flour in a bowl, and common sense, if it's a small one, you put a little bit of baking powder in your head. The baking powder is going to let it rise, you know, the flour, so don't put too much, because you could get gassy.
Yeah.
And a little bit of salt. Or if you don't want salt, then you don't have to.
Okay.
And put water in there and make sure you use Crisco. That other olive stuff is really hard.
Okay.
I tried it. You add some. It's really hard. So this is the original recipe, Crisco.
Yeah.
Crisco is really good.
I'll make Eskimo donuts on Thursday.
You are?
Sorry. Yeah.
I haven't done. I don't do that. I do this. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
This is my way of honoring Mom.
Yeah.
And it's fast. It's instant.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait like how many hours to let it rise. I think I have that personality. I want it done now. And it's okay. That's all right.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I have my mom to speak to.
Yeah.
For some of that.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is. It's passed down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to really ask her though. Like,
and find out about your grandma. I think she was a midwife. Dorothy Panikpaka, huh? Find out about the history of that while Betty is alive, or that side of the family.
Yeah, I like Betty.
Yeah. So.
It's fun.
Yeah. This is so cool. Homemade jam.
Did you read that one book? It's, what is it called? It's like Boutique Duck. Something. It's like, it's a woman's conference in 1982, I think.
Oh, Kalawa.
Yeah.
I have it.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. You want it?
No, I have.
You have it? Cool. And get a hold of Bill Wheatcott. Tell him you're going to school and they'll give it to you.
Oh, yeah? I probably get to meet my mom.
We were talking about that poor game warden. I said, I bet he just up and left, quit his job the next day. Yeah. So these are the things that I encourage you to do, is to write a letter to IHLC.
Okay.
Office, and also Whaling Commission office. Mm-hmm. Maggie Amawa. They will get it, I know. Coming from a young person who wants to know all this information, they will instruct somebody to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, I'm so glad you came. You encouraged me to make mom's recipe. Because I knew you were coming. Decided all of a sudden I better make these. So you'll take some.
Yeah.
Take some for you.
Do you know how to make a parka?
Yeah?
How about fur parka? Out of stitches.
You can do it. Look, where's that picture? Right there. See?
Oh yeah.
Who
are those?
My grandma and my mom.
Okay.
Leona knows how to do a pattern. I helped.
Yeah.
So a parka for Ida when Dina was being buried. And so it's just common sense, I think.
Yeah.
You know, just mm-hmm. like making a,
yeah, that's
a cloth parka. But
I have a couple books on how to make them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they need.
That's my goal in my head.
Make.
If my grandma can do these books,
mm-hmm.
skin. Beautiful.
That's a lot of
little designs of calf skin, little pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That's art.
Yeah.
So if they can do it, we can do it.
That's awesome.
So if you have the book, then go for it. Mm-hmm. I would love to, but it takes time to collect.
Is that the thing?
Yeah. But we could make it out of
Muskrat?
Yeah. Or whatever fur you want. Mm-hmm. But the original way is so much better, like if you catch it.
Yeah.
That's the original way they trap squirrels.
Yeah.
And you.
I was going to ask about. Yeah. I've been trying to look for sisters.
And nobody has it. You have to go and get it.
Mm-hmm.
So go camping one summer with your mom and say, let's catch sifflix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even just a little teeny one, it's okay. Just, you know, for a small child, that's okay. But it would be good for you to do it and to wear it.
I know.
Wow. 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 Yeah. And they use the... You notice that they don't use the sunshine. They use the sunshine on a long parka.
Oh.
Like our mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a fashion. See?
I like that one.
Sunshine. The long one. Isn't that awesome? Look how much work. I remember her doing it.
Wow.
Lots of work. And the sunshine rug. You use the sunshine rub on a long, and I remember a squirrel like that.
Looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And the guys, do they always just have?
Mm-hmm. Wolf? Yeah. Wolf. And I've seen some with wolverine.
Yeah. This is it.
Do you have an appointment? Or do you?